independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
He'd been considering letting director Comey go since the day he was elected, but he did have a conversation with the deputy attorney general where they had come to him to express their concerns.
That's Sarah B. Huckabee Sanders, Sarah Hucka, the Hucka love. She's filling in for the currently hanging out doing his naval service, Sean Spicer, but also the man behind the hedges. And we'll get to that in a little while. They said they wanted to fire Huckabee at the beginning, but then they wanted to give him another chance, but then they decided to get rid of him. But you see, kids, I picked up something today, and all of you listening here on the Chad Benson Show should be ashamed of yourself, as well as myself. We should be ashamed because apparently we were the deciding vote in the firing of James Comey.
Most of America had decided on their own that Director Comey was not the person that should be leading the FBI, as evidenced by the numerous comments that we've seen from Democrat members in the House and Senate, Republican members, members of the FBI.
Most of America, that's you and me, we decided. Now, I don't remember getting anything in the mail that says, hey, you know what, you should fill this out because we're you know, don't tell Jim this. I'm sure they call him Jim when you're close to them. Like, don't tell Jim this, but we're thinking about making a switch. I know. I mean, look, we don't have the confidence in Jim we once did. We thought we did, but it's been a long time in coming. The president has really never really liked Jim Comey at all, ever. He's never praised him. He's never talked good about him. He's never done any of that stuff.
I really disagreed with him. I was not his fan, but I'll tell you what. What he did, he brought back his reputation. He brought it back. He's got to hang tough because there's a lot of people want him to do the wrong thing. What he did was the right thing.
That was the situation right there that happened right before the election, late October. Talking about him. This is a move that happened, and we discussed it a little bit yesterday because it was all breaking. That happened because of Rod Rosenstein, right? Rod Roger. We'll call him, give him some cool name. Rod Rosenstein. This is the guy who is the deputy secretary, number two, part due vice president of the attorney generals, if you will. He is the second in charge, but he is the guy that is the boss. They weren't pals. They weren't friends, Comey and him. They didn't like him. This is all politics. And the hypocrisy of the left screaming and yelling when Trump was saying stuff like this.
It took guts for Director Comey to make the move that he made in light of the kind of opposition he had, where they're trying to protect her from criminal prosecution. You know that.
So here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. All of that taking place late October, right before the election, man alive, every person on the left, every Democrat that was out there in the Hill and everywhere else was screaming for his head. This guy may have broken a law. He should probably be in jail. He definitely needs to resign. He needs to go away. He's evil. This guy has destroyed everything. This guy right here has just destroyed every ounce of anything that's good because he has done this. He is playing partisan politics. He needs to be gone. And then, of course, last night, he's canned in a very bad way, by the way. We'll touch on that a little bit later. But in doing so, right, in being canned, if you will, he is now a martyr. The left is like, it's a good man. Can't get rid of a good man like this. The way this went down was horrible. He deserved better than this. It's a constitutionally right. Does the president even have the right to do something like this? I just don't know.
I become incredulous thinking about the ongoing FBI investigation into Russia's interference with our presidential election.
That's what this is all about, Russia. All right? That's what all of this is about. It's about Russia. And by the way, the president is not really under the kind of investigation that the people on the left want to make you. This was about other people with inside of it, Flynn and whatnot. I think everybody knows there's nothing's going to come back to get him. Nothing's going to bite him in the ass. And yes, if you're a billionaire and you have businesses all over the world, you'll have dealings with people all over the world, okay? Everybody does. Everybody. Can we get over it? all right? This Russia thing is going to hang over the head of this president while he's president until it gets to the point where either he thinks, I'm done, I don't want to do this job anymore, or people are like, look, we don't care about the Russia thing anymore because we're growing at 3.5% GDP and everybody's got a smile on their faces. Their paychecks are going up. We've got more money in the bank and all of us are employed. So whatever you guys have to say to try to save your ass, and oh, by the way, they've driven down premiums. Guess what? Nobody cares at that point in time. You can say all you want. You can say all you want. This was a political move. What happened behind the scenes, the things that you and I will never know about, is the reason he was gone. And most of it, I'm sure, was this conflict that happened between the deputy secretary, attorney general, the second in charge, right under Sessions, the guy he has to answer to, right? The number two. This is the issue right there, right? That's where the fight began. But for all of this craziness, for all of the screaming, for all of the yelling, for all of the 24-hour news cycle and the shock and awe of all of this stuff, I went to the bank today. There were three women back there, and they were working, and, hey, how are you today? I said, it's been great. I'm having a great day. And they're like, yeah, it's beautiful outside. It's gorgeous outside. And I said, can I ask you, ladies a question? I'm like, sure. I said, what do you think about the James Comey firing? And they all looked at us, and they looked at me, and they said, who? Women aren't stupid. And I said, the FBI director. One lady goes, oh, yeah. That sucked. That guy never really had a chance. Last night after dinner, talking to people, I'm like, do you know James Comey is? Most people are like, no, name sounds familiar. So if you walked in here, most people couldn't pick him out. Doesn't mean that it's not important, but it's not as important as the people in D.C. would like to make you think it is. It's very myopic, right? Everybody, like New York is a perfect example of this. Yankees baseball, Mets baseball, Knicks, Rangers, Jets, Giants. Those are the only sports teams in the world. That's it. There's no other sports teams. It revolves around them. L.A., it's the entertainment industry, and that's it. There's nothing else happens outside of here, period. It's not as important as people think. You're a single mom, a couple kids, going to school at night. You're living with your mother because she's helping take care of the kids. You're working full-time. You're busting your ass, right? Sacrificing here and there to not only get through school, but on top of that, give your kids the things that they need, and you're trying to better yourself. It's not important, right? You left your work. You quit. Little money saved up. Got some money from your family. You're starting a business. You're living paycheck to paycheck, day to day, sacrificing everything you can to build something up. Doesn't matter. You and your wife are busting your ass, working hard, paying for everything and then some, living paycheck to paycheck, seeing your premiums rising each and every single year, sacrificing all you possibly can. Doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. And that's what I am going to tell you right now. I got some text messages today when I did my show in Sacramento. Oh, you don't. I'm like, it's not. I said, one person was really like, he was just like, you have no idea. And I said, answer me this question right now. How does him being fired affect your life? And he goes, honestly, it doesn't. There you go. This investigation is going to move on. At the end of the day, people want a snapshot, Cliff Notes, fast food version of what may or may not happen, and then we'll react to it then. Getting deep into the weeds. Other people will tell you this is the most important thing that's ever happened in American history. I heard that from one of my colleagues today. That a few of these things that are happening are the most important things in the history of America. I beg to differ. I think there are far more important things in life and things that have happened to our country than this. Hope you're doing well. Happy Waffle Wednesday. It's the Chad Benson Show. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. It is Waffle. I did not have a waffle today, but it's not over yet. I may have breakfast for dinner tonight. Kind of feeling that. Kind of feeling a little breakfast for dinner. I think that'd be a good thing. You text the program 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. If I'm wrong, if this is the most important thing in the world, if this affects your life directly, I'd love to know about it. I would love to know about that. I put that out there earlier. Tell me how this affects your life directly. How this affects your day-to-day life. Does your business stop working? Do you not sleep well at night? Does one of your kids get sick because of this? I'm just curious how all of this goes about. Remember, the beltway there is the size of Los Angeles, essentially. Right? It's like 436 square miles. I think that's what they said it was. Something give or take around there. And they believe, they're myopic in their viewpoint, that this is it. And nothing else matters. Well, guess what? A lot of stuff matters to you and to me. And we're going to talk about those things. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at chatbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. It's Chad Benson Show.
Giving the First Amendment a run for its money. This is the Chad Benson Show.
This puts us in a constitutional crisis, perhaps worse than October 20th, 1973, when President Nixon fired the special prosecutor who was investigating him. You can't fire the investigator who is investigating you and expect anybody to believe, A, that you're innocent, or B, that you're going to have an honest investigation.
That was Bloody Saturday, right? Is that what they call the Saturday Massacre when Nixon did that? Oh, my God. Archibald Cox was the guy's name he canned. We were talking today. What a cool name, right? Archibald Cox, the man fired by a guy who probably nobody remembers unless you're a little bit older. And then today his name is being drawn out there. It's like, do you remember when Archibald Cox was canned on that Saturday night? By Nixon? Tricky Dick. Here's the issue I have with a lot of this stuff. I'm going to lay it out there, put it right there at your feet. I don't care about the, because whatever you do in D.C., there's going to be optics, right? My problem is the way it was handled. You know me. You listen to my show. God bless you. Thank you so much for that. I'm going to tell you this right now. I am not a mouthpiece for the administration. I love my country. I love my president, no matter who he or she is, and I want them to succeed. This, at times, has been good, and at times, it has been a not so good. The confusion with what took place yesterday, the way that it took place yesterday, where Comey apparently found out that he was canned by the news. Think about that for a second. Right? Canned by the news. I think that's poor optics. The confusion of it all. The mixed messaging coming out of the White House, it's poorly done. It is very poorly done. And I will get people saying, oh, read this article, read that. No, look, I've reading 1,000 different articles. I've heard about, I don't know. Let me tell you, I have pieces of audio here. I have so many pieces of audio that it's confusing me. And the message is coming out. Of the White House has been poor. The messaging and the way it's come out has been poor. It's frustrating to see this, and it could have been handled in a much better way. You could have waited until he got home, because I believe he was in Los Angeles, wasn't he, yesterday? I think that's where he was. He gets home. You call him over. Sessions then tells him, hey, by the way, we decided we're going to go in a different direction. Okay, which he already knew. I mean, they're talking about later on this week potentially naming somebody to succeed him. If you're at that point where there's a potential to name somebody to succeed him, it means that that choice was made a while ago, that they were going to move into a different direction. And in doing so, he had to have known, right? He's in the FBI. Of course he knew. But it could have been handled better. Whether you like Comey or not Comey, whether you're a fan or not, or any of this stuff, it's a bad messaging. It's poor messaging. It could have been handled better. And I think he, as a human being and somebody who has been, was stuck between a rock and a hard place in a bad situation, who took a lot of flack, he deserved better. He did. Let's have a little fun right now, kids. Speaking of Comey, let's do our urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
All right, your urban word of the day. I thought this was awesome. Fitting, I would say, on a day like today. Your urban word of the day, FBI. I know what you're thinking. Federal Bureau of Investigation. No, James Comey is not that. But you know what Jim may be? He may be the director of female body inspection. It's the FBI, man. Jim's checking it out over there, man. Must be a female body inspector. Well, he ain't a regular FBI agent. I know that for sure. That's your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
The Rock may run for president. And I was sitting there going, because he says he wants to run for president. He says they've been really giving some thought, right? Right? He says it's a real, real possibility I may run to become president. And I thought, you know, at this point in time, why not? Right? Like, what's his name? Hector Alexando Camacho?
Herbert Mountain Dew Camacho.
There you go. There you go. How awesome would it be to have a president named The Rock? The Rock, baby. Yeah, like no other president. Hey, if Pooter was standing next to him, he could take his shirt off and do that thing with his pecs. Oh, my God. This is the world we live in. This is it. That's what he told GQ Magazine, though. He's thought about that. I don't know what kind of party. I have a feeling he's a little bit more of a libertarian. Maybe even drift a little bit to the right. Maybe. We'll see what happens, though. I just let, you know what? Why not? I think Trump has opened it up in this field to a lot of different people. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Great article on LinkedIn. Wait till you hear this. It's a really good article. We'll talk about it next. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
What matters to you? Text the program 323-538-2423. Texter writes in, Chad, this is serious, but I understand what you're saying about what matters to people. That's it. I'm not saying things like Comey being fired or the Russian investigation or any of this stuff isn't, you know, something we shouldn't, you know, at least pay a little bit of attention to, because we absolutely should. What I am trying to say is, though, in the overall scheme of things in life, it doesn't affect the day-to-day life of a human being like you or I who go about our job, our careers, our lives, our schooling, our family time, our friendships, and we don't sit there and go, you know what, man, I can't come over tonight. James Comey's been fired. It doesn't happen. I slept fine last night. Producer Phil, you weren't feeling so well. Did you get any better because Comey was fired?
I slept like a rock last night.
Anthony, how about you? Sleep okay? Yeah, Anthony's like, yeah, slept fine. It's important to James Comey and his family. Absolutely, and his friends. Just like if you got canned today, it'd be important to you and your family and friends. But does it, you know, if I was gone, you know, you'd like to think, oh, people at work will miss me. But it isn't. What matters is like this great article Anthony found. It was on LinkedIn. It was an amazing article. It was, and you know what I loved about the article, too? It was like four paragraphs long. How many times you read an article and you're like, okay, it doesn't need to be this long. Like the entire event didn't take this long. But it talked about the fact that we have a massive problem in this country, a big gap in this country as far as employment goes. There are 5.7 million jobs unfilled, and according to unemployment records, there's about 7 million people that are unemployed. Now, these are people of working age that are healthy, that are on unemployment that they can check. We all know that it's really not 4.4%. There's a lot more people than 7%. We understand that. But we're just going by the statistics they put up there. It's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But I like that. Let's go with that. 7 million people that are unemployed of working age, 18 to like 63 or whatever, that are healthy, that are people that are capable of working. 5.7 million jobs currently available to people. All right? So you're watching with me? It's a math. I know you're saying, Chad, you told me there was no math. I'll do the math. If we filled 5 million of those jobs in March and April, all right, that'd leave 1.3 million jobs. At that point, we are at the lowest point of unemployment in the history of our country, and we're under 1%. All right? It's negligible. Those jobs aren't being filled. Because over 2 million of those jobs are two industries. Medical, skilled medical professions, physician assistant, nurse, doctor, administrators, IT, networking, things like that. Not the excitement, ooh, I'm going to build a website, I'm going to make all kinds of stuff, video games, talking about the day-to-day cybersecurity, IT kind of stuff that, you know, Linda can't get her computer to, it's frozen, Steve can't get the printer to work, IT stuff, starting at very nice wages. We talked about it before. Cybersecurity, you're going to come out in cybersecurity land and you're looking at $80,000 as somebody who's starting off. Those jobs are left unfilled. Why is that? Nobody wants to do them. Nobody wants to do them. We all want to be a doctor, but we don't want to go through 12 years, right, of school. Something we don't want to do. It's like, I don't want to go through 12 years of college after I just got through 12 years of school. I don't want to do that. IT is the same way. It's not sexy. It's not. A lot of this younger generation that loves the computer world, they're more of a gig economy type of people, meaning they want to do things here and there. They don't want to be that guy who's in the office dealing with the day-to-day mundane stuff to keep the company moving along and chugging along, making sure the servers are working, making sure that, like you said, the network's up and that everybody's connected to the printer, making sure that so-and-so who's screwed up something and buried a document somewhere and can't find it, you can help them retrieve it. They don't want that job, but they're available. This middle class to upper middle class economy is ready to be built there, and we aren't fulfilling those needs because we're building education around things that in life, really, it's not getting us the place that we thought it was going to get us. Hence the reason HB1 visa, was so popular and big for a lot of Silicon Valley and a lot of other places. They want and need skilled IT coders, people like that, to come over and work within the systems. They can't get them here. These jobs are unfulfilled. And think about this. They're unfilled. It's only going to grow from there exponentially. It's only going to grow, especially when it comes to the medical field, for instance. The medical field, because of longevity, and we've talked about the expense of keeping people alive for a long time, but also because of skilled nursing facilities for an older, aging population, there's going to be a need there. It's not sexy, but it pays incredibly well. People aren't going into that. You can't force people to do certain things, but then you wonder why people look around and go, well, I can't find a job. Well, what did you major in? Well, I majored in this. Well, that's silly. Again, you're a poet. How about you go and write your great poetry after you code this? We need to start looking at our education system in a much more forward-thinking way where we start actually getting to these kids earlier and start to somewhat build them a path towards stuff that's going to be a success. I was saying earlier today, if they came to me and they said, hey, Jack has really shown a real keen eye and understanding and has a real good grasp on engineering or technological things or technology or whatever it is. And we're thinking about, you know, this new fast track thing where he gets into 10th, 11th, 12th grade. He takes the minimal courses, maybe one English class, but he hyper focuses on technology and science and engineering and doesn't do any of the other stuff. Would you be okay with that? I'd be like, damn, Skippy, I would. If he's okay with it, I'm 100% okay with it. And I'd want his input, But I would absolutely go, yes. Yes. 100% yes. We need to start identifying what the future is going to look like and be forward thinking. But we're not. We're not. And to think that there's 5.7 million jobs out there that are unfilled. And here's the great thing. If you are one of these people, right, you're a highly skilled nurse, doctor, physician assistant, big time administrator, have worked at hospitals and ran in medical offices. If you're a big IT guy, a cybersecurity guy, a coder, if you're any of these things, it is your market. You're selling something that is a need and people are buying it and they're willing to pay big time. The quit ratio in this country is grown. It's actually at its best it's been since 2001. What's that mean to us is if you have one of these skills, right? Skill, the sky's the limit. Instead of 400 people applying for one job, there are 400 jobs with one person that's qualified and applying for it. What do you think you have there as a person who's coming in as an employee? You have leverage. But people don't see that. And I know many of you out there, and I get text messages all the time, who have told me, look, you know what, Chad? I was a truck driver. I was an accountant. I was all of these things. I went back to school, and after a year or two, I got my coding certificate or my cybersecurity certificate, and now I'm making 3-4 times as much. People don't see that. They don't. They just continue to trog along. Sometimes it's okay to take a little bit of a step back to move step forward. I'm telling you guys, it's out there. It's available. But people aren't jumping on it like they should be. And I don't know why. I don't know. And I don't know why we're so hyper-focused when it comes to school to doing things the way we've always done them, even though the world is adapting in a much different way. I wish somebody could tell me that. But again, the unions play a huge part in that, right? Politics plays a huge part in that. But don't we want what's best for our kids? Don't we? Last night, Jack's mom sends me a picture of Jack. I talked to him for like 5 minutes yesterday, if that. And he was so consumed. Because over the weekend, I got him his iPad. He's done really, really well with a lot of stuff. And I rewarded him, and it's been something that I've had for a while, and I rewarded him with his iPad. And he has just absolutely just loving it. He's going, he's doing a lot of things, and he's going to his camp this summer. We're sending him to like a science camp. He's going to go to computer camp. He's doing all of these things. I was telling Anthony, okay, let's say you're not as great as the other kids and all this stuff, but you got a good grasp, but you have an understanding. But you're going to be tall and you're going to be, you know, great looking and the girls are going to like you. A lot of these other kids, that's not going to happen. So, you know, by design, you guys could merge together like a peanut butter cup, right? You bring them hot chicks and they teach you some of your stuff. They start a $1 billion company. You get some stock. You're rich. It's a win-win for everybody. But I love the fact that he's going to camp like that. Yeah, he's going to do basketball camp. Yeah, he's going to do all this stuff. But the fact that he loves science, to me, I'm thrilled. Like that, to me, I was so excited about. But he was sitting there last night playing on his iPad all night, his mom says. You know, he's reading. He's doing all of the things, but now he's doing it on his iPad. And he's playing around, and he's been really technologically just driven over the last couple, you know, 6-8 months where he's just really getting into that. And I love the fact that he's doing that. And I implore his mom all the time, more technology, the better technology. I don't want him to be addicted. There's a difference between being addicted to a video game and getting out of it all the things that he loves doing. It's not just about sitting there watching YouTubes. It's a lot of other things that he's doing, and he's playing around on his school stuff, and I find it to be tremendous. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. If you've thought about making a career change, have you done it? Did you go back and say, you know what, I'm going to go back to school, and I'm going to get my whatever in degree, whether it be, you know, I know a lot of people have gone back and nursing is becoming a thing that a lot of people are jumping back into because it's a huge need. But I see things like cybersecurity and stuff like that. That's why I get a lot of people that talk to me and go, dude, you're right. I went back and it was great. So 323-538-2423, that's the text line, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Syria, the most dangerous place on earth. Wait till you hear where number two is. Chad Benson Show.
Irreverent? Like, yeah.
So what? It's the Chad Benson Show.
If Syria is where Canada is, right? So let's just say we live in an alternative universe and Syria, Canada, right? Same situation, right? Like, so there is Syria. The fighting's going on. Our top hat now has a civil war with bad things going on up there. 50,000 plus people killed in this said violent war that's taking place. We would be like, wow, whoa, that's insane. That's crazy. That's, you know, that's insane. We got to do something. Mexico is the second most dangerous place on the planet. Almost 25,000 people last year were murdered in Mexico. That's half of what was killed in Syria, but still far ahead of the 17,000 in Iraq and 16,000 in Afghanistan and the 7,000 in Yemen, which is horrible because that's where my summer home is. So I just freak out. You know, when people get so mad at, like, why people come here, I understand why you're pissed. And we need to have a sovereign land. We do. But can you understand the drug war there is so disgusting and horrible? And these people outside of some of these larger cities are SOL. And the violence and the things that happen there, they're running for their lives at times. Sometimes it's not even their, they're not even wanting to do it. They got no choice to do it. But think about that. Places like Ciudad Juarez, which is right across from El Paso, the most dangerous city maybe in the world, right? Next to one place in Syria, the most dangerous place is probably Ciudad Juarez. And right across the border is El Paso, Texas, the safest place in America, I think, over the over 500,000 people, safest city in America. Is that crazy? You can hear gunfire a couple hundred yards away. The violence, the nastiness. It's about the drug war. It's horrible. People are fleeing there to give themselves a better life, and they're fleeing through Guatemala and Honduras and all that. They're doing that. I understand that. We need to have a sovereign border. We need to do something. And putting up the wall, again, if we're really serious about getting people to stop coming here, we'll just go after the people who employ them. And you watch what happens. It'll stop immediately. And so far, Bush has put up a wall, at least mentally, for a lot of people. But there's still going to be a drug trade. And there's still going to be battles. And there's still going to be issues. And until we stop consuming the drugs the way that we consume it, doesn't matter. I mean, we're a consumer-based nation. And woo, we like to consume drugs. But think about this. This is a CNN report about cartel kids. This kid's 15 years old. One of these kids is 15 years old. And when you listen to him, It's a matter of fact type life he leads.
Sometimes they make you kill someone. Sometimes they make you beat up someone, stab someone.
I've moved weed. I've moved cocaine. 2-3 times I've gotten into houses, and I know I've directly me myself. I've shot down like 5 people. You could get recruited by at any time by anyone and at any age. I would teach illegals how to say U.S. citizen, or I would hide them. There's little kids that are 9, 10 years old shooting people. You got to be ready to die at any moment. It is a fear of mine, but I've accepted it as an inevitability.
It's a fear in life, but I've accepted it as an inevitability. That's sad. That's sad. That's why, again, I blame our politicians for allowing this mess to happen over here, right? But I also talk about it, and I don't think we talk about it enough in this country, is the failure of the politicians in Mexico to get a handle on the drug war, to get a handle on any of this. But we are also a bit to blame. We love to consume. If we didn't do drugs in this country, there's no war to be had here because they're not coming over bringing their stuff. If we didn't consume heroin and coke and weed, obviously, that is becoming less and less of an issue. But if we didn't consume this, what would happen? I'm curious. It's interesting to think about. To know that 23,000 people, I am about an hour and 20 minutes away from the Mexican border. Corruption, violence, chaos, hopelessness. And you wonder why people come here. Blame the politicians for a good portion of this mess on both sides of the border. Absolutely. But when you hear a 15-year-old say it's an inevitability and he's killed a bunch of people and that they do it to 8, 9, and 10-year-olds are out there shooting people, and at least once a year we hear about a kid who's like 12, 15 years old who's some, you know, some major hitman for the cartels. God, it's insane. It really is. Makes you, again, think about how blessed we are in this country to live here. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Check out ChadBensonShow.com. You know what we got there? Like, lots of awesome goodies. Things like podcast, absolutely free. Anthony works hard on that. So go check it out over there. ChadBensonShow.com. It is your Waffle Wednesday edition of the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.